this time he's been saying to me, Terpster, le dick. And I was like, I wonder what he's saying. So I learnt it. I learnt it so I could understand how he was bashing me.
Le dick.
Horde side.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode, 408 for, what's the week? What's the day? Friday, April 17th, 2015. April flying along like it doesn't care, like it doesn't give two shits what you think about time. My name is...
What?
I know. My name is Scott Johnson.
I don't understand any of those things.
And that person who is shocked is Terpster. Hi, Terpster.
Hello, me.
Hey,
and
man.
Hello, Scott.
Hello.
And hello, Patrick.
Oh, Patrick's here, too. Hi, Patrick.
Patrick's here.
Oh, hey. Wow. How's it going there?
Oh,
I didn't see you.
Oh, we missed you. No, we missed Terpster because he was gone for 2 weeks, but we didn't miss Patrick. He was here. You were here. It was fine.
I was here. Terpster wasn't.
If you had been gone,
I didn't really
then they would have
missed
you.
Miss him.
Yeah, of course
well,
not.
No, let's not. Well, you did. You did.
You
There's nothing wrong with missing. I missed you.
You were
I'll
all
say it.
Over my Twitter feed and my thoughts, which is why I didn't.
That's good. We never truly are apart because of those fine technologies.
Never shall we be.
Dill's had an early morning meeting. He's not here, but we're here. And there's stuff that actually happened. Here's the best part about you missing 2 weeks in a row. They were literally the most deserty news weeks in the history of World of Warcraft. And I'd say that without any kind of hyperbole. That was true. There's nothing going on. So we talked about a lot of fun stuff, but quite literally, it has been the quietest thing. As it turns out, it's because, the whole quiet before the storm thing. Because now there's tons of things to talk about.
or one might even say the quiet before the blizzard.
Oh, jeez. I see what you did. I see what you did.
Thank you. Thank you.
No.
Hey, can I say something before we get into the show?
Of course you can. Yeah.
Last week, I can't remember when it was, but there was the Podcast Awards.
Yes.
A few days ago.
Oh yeah. Congrats
to
us.
And I didn't realize that there were so many Frog Pants and DTNS and other and Night Attack and all of this and Diamond Club shows entered, and everyone, like in all of the categories where one of those shows from our group was in the running, they won.
Yeah, we swept it.
And I woke up to Twitter to a torrent of tweets of congratulations to everyone I care about in this community, and it was a awesome feeling. So the community did an amazing job, and I love all of you guys, and I'm hugging you right now virtually.
The funny thing is, I thought
the best gaming show.
Yeah, we are the best gaming show.
Where really the truth is we're the show allied with the most other voters for this thing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
great.
How
I still
it
like that.
It's exactly how it
works.
It is all on the backs of
and
fans.
Chris Jericho, wasn't he hosting it?
He did. Him and Emily, I forget her last name. She has a podcast as well, been around forever. Those two hosted it. They were fine.
They weren't fine. They were crap.
All right, it was kind of terrible. But what was fine, here's the best part of the whole thing. So we swept every category we were in. That's a total of three shows that I physically record and produce won. So Film Sack, The Morning Stream, and then this show. And then Night Attack won in their two categories they were nominated in, both video and mature, which is their weird categories. Tom won for his Daily Tech News show in the technology category. Brian Ibbett won for Coverville. And was that it? I think that
was
all.
And for those who didn't see it, Ibbett basically went up the stage four times to receive awards in other people's names because he was the one representing them.
Yeah.
By the initially, Jericho and the other presenter were like, "Oh, haha, guy with the funny hat, he's coming back again." And by the fourth time, they were like, "Seriously,
look
him,
Chris again?" Jericho, whose whole career in wrestling was based on fake outcomes of fake things, was starting to look.
Don't be mean.
Well, wrestling, He starts to look. He started to have a look on his face, like maybe something's up here, like something weird going on. And in their head, they weren't connecting that in some cases he was just representing, or that the community was large enough to do that. In their heads, they're like, one guy is coming up to get all the awards. Something is something is amiss, something is going on here. But nothing was. You guys just all voted for us. It was all clean and on the above board, and we're incredibly humbled by it. And thanks for the win.
And thank you so much to the, as I was saying, this community is incredible. And I've never cared about any of those awards ever.
Right.
And I think they're kind of dumb, to be honest. But still, winning
those dumb things, like for shows that I'm involved in,
it was kind of like, oh, thank you guys. Yeah. So thank you.
That's really cool. I mean, the Instance has won only one other time in a previous year. I want to say it was like 2010 or 09 or something.
Well, you didn't have Patrick.
Not in our time. I don't think it was. Yeah. I didn't think I was there. Was I? I think it was Randy.
I think it was still Randy and I, and it was a long time ago. And that's back when they just did them over Skype. Like there was no award show. He just kind of did it over Skype.
It was also back when the Instance was really good because they just stuck to the topic.
There wasn't
Hearthstone or something like that to talk about. But if it had been, they would have just kept to it anyway.
It wouldn't have happened. But honestly, the only category I thought we were going to lose this week was this one. I thought this would be the loss because I heard we barely mentioned it on the show. It was like maybe one or two times. I wasn't really pushing it, which I don't like to do anyway. I don't like that feeling of hawking it that way, but it didn't seem to matter. Everybody really wanted us to win, and that's how the rules work, and that's how we won. So huge thanks to everybody, even Patrick, even who hates these awards, really. I mean, he's being nice right now. He freaking would like the pee, hot yellow viscous pee on it. He viscous. Hates it so bad. Viscous, like really bad. You haven't been drinking enough water, too much red meat. It's just nasty cheese pee.
I don't think even if you don't drink any water, I don't think your pee should be viscous.
It should never be.
That you should probably see a doctor about that.
Yeah, it should never be thick and liquid. That's true. Gross. Let's move on. There's a lot to talk about. I have been slowly leveling through my garrison missions. My gear, that is, my eye level, because I haven't been raiding very much lately. We talked about last week at length, Pat Terpster, but I've been feeling particularly the lull between patches, the kind of...
Yeah, it started to get to the point where you've done a lot of what you're trying to do already.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't touched my mine in weeks. I haven't looked at... I'm sure there's some brand new fresh potions just waiting for me just down the path, but I've just sat next to the table, hopped in, sent everybody on missions, got some nice gear.
Welcome to my world.
Golden XP. Yeah. I mean, it's basically
I've had an obscene luck though recently with the salvage yard where I got a Black Rock Bulwark. I've managed to have, you know, some really kind of cool. I mean, that's a 665 shield I just got out of there.
Yeah.
Just opening something. I've got some trinkets which I've sold. I'm sitting on 130,000 gold now. And it kind of feels like, I guess the token means that potentially people have a little bit more money to spend.
Yeah.
So kind of everyone's getting a bit more money, even the people who aren't directly buying gold.
Yeah.
So good times.
Yeah, it is good. And the salvage yard has been kind to me as well. Although right now I've got like 3 stacks of 20 I need to open. And it's such a job to open it all that I've been saving that for when I have an hour to burn. But anyway, it's not like raid nights haven't been happening. Our raid group's been doing great, but I've had stuff come up or just whatever, and I don't know when the scales need to be tipped, and it's like, well, you could watch Bloodline with your wife on Netflix and binge 3 episodes of that, or you could go raid. I kind of been siding with the other thing and not raid, and it's not that I'm not. I mean, my progression in Foundry is terrible right now. I'm barely in there. I just am feeling that thing that every expansion we all feel a little bit, some more than others, whatever, but I'm just starting to feel that
way.
You
get burn, exactly. It happens because there's only so much that you play and that you do. To be honest with you, like I've started playing the auction house, which is something I never do, but it's just because that's something that I've never do, and so it's a bit different. And equally, you don't have to do it at any particular set time with a load of other people.
Yeah.
So I think there's still opportunities in the game to do things, but yeah, totally in regards to it being towards the end of a patch, you can feel that.
Yeah, for sure.
And last week we were calling for news about 6.2,
sure,
and lo and behold,
here it is. Woo-hoo! Let's get right into it. 6.2 has landed on the PTR anyway. It hasn't landed in the core game yet, but let's talk about what matters in that. In that 6.2, it was both announced and PTR'd in the same week. The Tannin Jungle video preview looked really nice to me. Real dark. Like, we're definitely headed toward let's say there's no happy, shiny panda space in that jungle.
You know, I have to say I was a little bit disappointed. I was promised a jungle. Mm. And this is basically a pool,
Hellfire
a pit of fell blood and dark energy and very terrifying. You know, I was planning on having a nice vacation there, and it seems I'm going to have to fight my way through everything when I want to get to the morning buffet, when I want to go to the, you know, have a swim. It's I think there's a little bit of false advertising in
there. Well, when they asked Gul'dan, where will all of the fell blood be? And he said, mm-hmm. everywhere. No, he didn't say it. Yeah, it's everywhere, and it is his fault. Gul'dan has obviously gone in there and had a freaking warlock.
He's done a great job. He's done his role perfectly. Mm. Good job, Gul'dan. Mm. You've really messed things up. What's the thing is I don't know how kind of close to spoilers we can get with any of this. Well, in the very nature of what we're talking about, this is on the PTR, so
yeah, I think we can
none
talk
of this
about
is in
it.
The game yet.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to have to spoil,
I think we can talk about it.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Equally, if you're on the internet, it's like, you know, everything's been spoiled already anyway.
Right,
so
right. These are things where I'm not sure. Well, whatever. My opinion's different on spoiling things generally, but video games, I have a very distinct line. If it's a strictly narrative, linear-based game of any kind of video game, then I'm usually kind of careful with spoilers. But when it comes to WoW, where it's this big sandboxy curated thing, it's hard to talk about what's coming and what's happening without talking about it. So I say we talk about it. It's totally fine.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
So we never did talk about the progression of the ring, and that's where they've decided to put some of the big story points, some of the big beats.
So can we just to clear up my own understanding,
yeah.
This is 6.2.
Yep.
Are we going to have a 6.3, or is this the end of Warlords of Draenor?
This can't be Warlords' end because the bosses don't include a couple of very key figures.
Well, exactly. And well, equally, they said that the last boss wasn't going to be just an orc. Mm-hmm. And people weren't sure if that meant that, you know, oh, well, you know, Grom isn't just an orc. He's Grom Hellscream. Mm-hmm. Or if it was going to be like, oh, no, it's going to be, you know, Grom, but, you know, Titan, blood-powered, you know, fell energy, something other. But what's interesting is this seems to be the end of the Legendary questline.
Yeah, for sure.
So last time it ended in the Siege of Orgrimmar, didn't it? It was sure. The final patch ended that.
But think about this. See, I think it works to end that quest line ahead of some final huge chunk of content, because then you have a thing that you're excited to take into that battle that is functionally awesome in there. And I don't think that indicates, like, the end of that quest line coinciding with this patch, I don't think that indicates that this isn't the final patch. There will be a 6.3, and there will be some big Grom thing, and it'll end with him turned into freaking half Manoroth or some weird thing like that. It's not going to be this.
I thought we might even get like some sweet redemption arc, and that, you know, because as you go through the Legendary questline, as a lot of people may already have now, so it's not a massive spoiler, but obviously Gul'dan comes along, Kil'rog drinks the Kool-Aid, and Grom gets kind of captured.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if maybe we were going to kind of, you know, break him free, and he's going to do his whole saving the day but dying thing again. That he's so famous.
Well,
for.
I thought he was okay. That's funny you'd say that, because I actually had the same notion, but my notion started way back before we knew the fate of Garrosh. And I thought that what would happen is even Grom would see the insanity of his son and intervene at some point, basically end the madness and therefore somehow end himself in the process. That's all entirely still possible, obviously. And Blizzard likes these. They like this story arc trick. They like to play around with the idea of redemption, of Vader picking up the Emperor and throwing him down a pipe. Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, let's talk about that after. But
can
wow,
we
yeah,
just, yeah, we're going to, can we talk toward the end of the show just yeah, a little about Star Wars, guys? Just a little? Okay.
We have to.
Yeah, yeah, all yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't think it's fair not to. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was a national holiday at Blizzard anyway yesterday, so.
I have to say, even myself, who's not the biggest Star Wars fan, I was kind of hyped. So, yeah we have to.
Even you were hyped. See, that says something, because the French, they don't like anything. So
they are.
I want to know what you were hyped about. Anyway, here's the thing. As far as that story goes, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be, but if the question is, will there be 6.3? Yes, there will be 6.3. Of course there will be. And I think they want to be quick about it, and I think they want it to be epic and amazing, and they want to do all the things that they do. But we don't know yet, I guess.
I'm curious, when we're talking storyline, it seems they're trying to sort of reconnect this storyline with some, you know, the quote unquote real version of history. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, in order for that to happen, the orcs have to still invade Azeroth. So we can't really win if they want to go that way. So I'm wondering what's going to happen there, because if at the end of the expansion, we kind of defeat some portions of the factions, but then the orcs still invade Azeroth and we're like, oh, well, you know, everything's back to normal, we can go home, then it sort of breaks it clean and ends the expansion well. But in order for that to happen, we kind of have to lose a little bit.
Well, are you worried that they're mushing the time zone or timelines together? Is that your concern?
I think
concern? There's
both the time zones and the timelines. I mean, really, yeah. They could do a better job at between, you know, some portions of the map and the, anyway, okay, keep going.
Daylight savings and all that other, you know, right. People love it.
Sure.
I think when you look at the story, one of the final achieves for the Legendary Questline is time is a flat circle. Mm-hmm. And it's from True Detectives. And I think it people conjures up this thing that you can make changes to the timeline, mm-hmm. but it's going to try and correct itself or repeat itself. And mm-hmm. so what's happened before will happen again.
Right.
And we've kind of now seen this with the orcs drinking Manaroth's blood again.
Yeah.
I think that the inclusion of Manaroth as a boss, like, he's not quite dead enough, will be, you know, I think I like that a lot. But I think on top of that, Blizzard's been quite smart in creating some really kind of interesting characters this expansion, and yet still kind of backing up those new ones with these juggernauts.
You think Manaroth will show up as like a big undead?
Well, yeah, you can see it. You can see there's two versions of him. One of him, he's kind of stapled back together with a big kind of cleaved out hole in his head where Gorehowl went in.
Yeah.
And the other model of him is a skeleton. So I don't know if like on normal and Raid Finder, he'll be a skeleton and the other one, he'll be more fleshy. Or if you DPS him down to 50%, all his skin falls off. I've already seen everything. And then you fight him as a skeleton. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they've already started, you know, kind of putting in these cool characters. Like, you know, Manaroth's a really cool character in WoW and it's such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to then be able to say like, you still get a chance to kill him. I know we killed him, but you can kill him.
Yeah.
We don't mind that.
It'd be a fine,
I like that.
A fine addition to the Heroes of the Storm.
And then obviously we've got, you know, Archimonde, who we all remember fondly from Hyjal. Mm. He is going to be the last boss for this raid.
Correct.
And he is one of the big daddies of the Burning Legion.
He is so, that raid, by the way, called Hellfire Citadel. It will be a part of this patch as well. And he is the final boss there. And I think you're on the right path of like where the connective tissue of the timelines will start to come together, because clearly he's got a lot to do with that. And
I think it could conclude the expansion, though.
You think so? That could end it all, you think?
How can you go bigger than Archimonde?
Well, that's the thing. You can have Sigaris or you can have Kil'jaeden.
Well,
Kil'jaeden was the final boss in Burning Crusade.
Yeah, but Archimonde is kind of Kil'jaeden level of greatness and power. And, you know, you can't really go all the way to... what's his face?
Sargeras.
You can't really go all the way to Sargeras. It's like the ultimate evil of the entire lore of Warcraft.
Yeah, he's basically he's the Satan of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Of that religion.
He's the fallen Titan.
He's Lucifer. But I think it's I don't know. I think that there's plenty you can do. After this, I imagine we still have to deal with Gul'dan. He isn't one of those bosses.
Mm-hmm.
We may deal with him through that legendary quest line. That may be how we resolve, because that's mainly how we've interacted with him so far.
Mm-hmm.
But so it could be if there is a raid after this.
Right.
But how does Gul'dan, what happens with Gul'dan is the, again, quote unquote, real Azerothian timeline. He enters Azeroth, right?
So yeah, he came through with the orcs in the first the first invasion, and then
so in order to reconcile the timelines,
right?
In order to reconcile the timelines, he would have to survive.
But I don't think it matters because this is a separate universe, and the timeline doesn't have to go back to how it was.
But they're going that way to reconciling the two.
Well, there's two paths, right? So you, when you're making your time travel movie story, whatever, you either connect them, or you say one is now independently doing what it's doing and the other, you know, is doing what it's doing at the point it was doing it, and you don't connect them. And I think Patrick may be right here. The cleanup way that you usually, the simple way is usually to have it all somehow resolved where Marty McFly's photo isn't fading out anymore, and that you've somehow corrected everything. I think they're going to go the way of correcting it. I don't know that I would prefer that necessarily. I kind of like the idea that we are off on our own. You know, the way Star Trek did their reboot, for example, in the movies, is kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, it's like, well, now anything could happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be a drive to correct things, because I don't think we have to. I think what we're going to see, though, is that a lot of those tropes will happen in similar ways. Mm-hmm. So the orcs drinking the blood happens because that's kind of cool. It makes them, you know, stronger enemies to face up against. You know, the Iron Horde was scary, but the Fell Iron Horde, or the True Iron Horde, or whatever they're calling themselves, is scarier still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and freaking Kilrog is okay.
Kilrog, I mean, I'm amazed. He drank Manaroth's blood. He had a single skull on his braid of his beard.
Yeah.
He drank the blood, and then he had two.
I know, right?
Skulls.
That's crazy.
And I was just like,
he doubled skulls.
Potent. Yeah. Doubled his skulls.
100% skull increase in one drink. It's insane.
That is, again, I don't think they put that on the side of the bottle, but yeah, they probably should let people know the value, yeah, that you get from drinking that sort of
I'm
stuff.
I'm very interested in taking him down, because like I've said in earlier shows, he's my least favorite of the warlords, because he's this, and I don't like people like him in real life, the truly fanatically religious, those who are so far on one end that they see everything as a martyrdom and a chance to destroy everything, and he's that guy in this story.
But at the same time, he legitimately has seen how he dies. Mm. Like, that's the whole shtick with him, is, you know, his clan cut out their eye to see their demise.
Yeah.
So it's not that he's, you know, believes in, you know, this invisible voice that talks to him from time to time. It's a proven reality. So I think he has a certain level of arrogance where he kind of knows, you know, this is how I'm going to die. This is cool.
Yeah.
I know that's going to happen. So I'm going to go ham up until then. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drink this demon blood, because I know that's not going to kill me. I know, you know, I die on the toilet eating a cheeseburger. You know, that's that's going to be how I go.
Wait.
So I have a question about the time circle thing.
Sure.
Can there be a circle that is not flat?
That's interesting, because if you look at a sphere, every angle has a circle, right?
So, well, but it's not a sphere is not a circle.
No, but it creates near infinite circles, is my point.
It's a slice.
Because if you look at it, if you look at a sphere from any angle, there's a circle there, but it's a different angle, therefore a different circle.
Yeah,
that makes sense. All
right. So other features.
Let's talk about this. I like this one a lot. Catch-up mechanics coming, according to Watcher devs. This was separate and done on Twitter, but they said that for in 6.2 they have plans to make it very easy to move your alts and get them kind of up to par. They didn't elaborate. We don't know what that is. Whatever that is not currently on the PTR, but that's exciting to me, because I would really like to get my mage in a place where I'm happy with him and not have to worry about his garrison or anything else. I just kind of want to get him caught up without all the work. I realize that sounds lame, but hey, whatever. You know, a catch-up mechanic sounds interesting. I mean, is that just me, or do you guys feel good about the idea that Blizzard wants us to carry not just our main characters through all this, but that the others shouldn't be, you know, so backpacked with garrison details.
The thing is they have got this weird balance where they have to put in enough stuff for you to do that you can play the game and think, hey, I'm getting value for my subscription. Mm. There's so many things for me to do. And then when you have an alt, you have to do all those things again.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily as fun the second time around. Mm. And I think if Blizzard built the game with the view that everyone had alts and everyone was going to do, you know, they could build it a little bit different potentially. But I think it makes sense that once it gets to a certain stage, they can condense that Whitney, that ramp to get up to the end game, just so that you can start trying out new stuff, playing with new characters, or if you've lapsed over this, you know, patch cycle, you can come back and hit it really hard.
Yeah. So you're sure it's to catch up alts that aren't level 100 yet? I thought it would.
No, I think it'd be gear. Yeah, I thought it was gear.
Right. Okay. So if your alt is already level 100, but you haven't kept up.
But you don't want to have to do all the heroics, and you don't want to have to go through. Yeah. I think it's going to be that there's going to be, you know, Apexis gear, or there will be something. But we'll see. I don't see them helping us level any quicker. But they could squish the Draenor XP.
That's true.
You know, there's no need to keep that as big as it is now. But, you know.
It's so story-centric, though, that they run the risk of... because, you know, in the old days, if you compressed XP in, like, vanilla, that made sense. Because these are just quests that don't really tie a ton of really epic story moments together. But this expansion in particular, I feel like, does that really well. And to compress that would mean you're going to miss a chunk. But maybe you don't care because you've already seen it with your mains. You know, I don't know.
Exactly. It depends. If you're this late into the cycle, if you really do like the story, you can still play through it even when you're level 100. Yeah. In fact, it's easier and quicker, so you can consume that a lot faster. Right.
There you go. Let's see here. Let's talk about what else. New garrison stuff. They've got a new feature called the Shipyard Naval Mission.
So the Shipyard, exactly. That's really cool. So you can build like frigates, submarines, gunboats. It's basically, it seems to be like a new garrison mission hub type thing. And I think equally, I think we have to build our shipyard to access Tanan.
Yeah.
I think that's the way in.
That's how you get in there, is level 3, then you do that whole quest. Level 3 garrison is required to get in there. And then you got to build shipyard. That is correct. But from a practical standpoint, I love the idea of these shipyard missions and all this stuff sounds great. But from a practical standpoint, there's no you're not next to a giant body of water in your garrison. I feel like it's going to be a little disconnected. You know what I mean? Like, is it going to just be a building with a bunch of orcs walking around going, me working, and no real, it would be really cool if we had some kind of iron dock sort of river connected something that just, I don't know, visually, I just want to feel more connected to that than I think we're going to be.
It may be a little bit, you click on the thing and a loading screen pops up and then you're in Tanan.
Yeah.
But what I kind of like this as a potential way to take our garrison forward, though, if we were to have, like, in the next expansion, a ship, and that's where our garrison was on, and we kitted out a ship, I think that could be really fun.
Some listeners are probably thinking to themselves, well, Scott, Terpster, and Patrick, you could be on the PTR, and you could see how this is implemented right now. We're not really PTR guys. I mean, maybe we should be for testing's sake, but I don't like it because I want.
I don't know. I mean, how do I access it now?
You just.
I used to be able to just change my region account.
You just do a little drop down and install it. It's
easy. But it's not showing up for me. So.
Oh really?
Is it probably out?
Maybe the PTR is not live yet because when it is, that's how you access it.
I thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was up.
But it might have been taken down, or it might not be in the EU. But even then, it normally comes up. Above the live, you get PTR test.
I'm looking at
I can see it, PTR for Reaper of Souls.
Yeah.
And, Elixir of Void and stuff like that. But I can't get into anything for...
By the way, did you get a WoW. Legacy of the Void key? Did you get one of those?
Yeah. It's good fun.
I haven't gotten one yet. Dang it, I wanted it.
It's the Archon mode is brilliant. You can suck with a friend now rather than just suck by yourself.
Confirmed. The WoW PTR drop down is not there. Maybe there's another way to get around it because I know that it's up. It's in there. People are hot. It's being hot fixed.
Exactly. Maybe it's just down at this point in time. But anyway, PTR, you can go on there. Equally, MMO Champion, WoW Head. There's loads of people out there who are, data mining the crap out of it. So you don't have to necessarily go and play it. If you just want to find out about what stuff is going on, you can read about it. I don't really want to play it before I play it.
Right.
I want to play it for real on live and kind of experience it that way. I don't mind knowing what happens. I just don't really want to go through the time and effort of playing it to have that then deleted.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. New dungeon difficulty, Mythic, and it has weekly lockouts. So we're talking about not raids, obviously, but dungeons.
Mythic dungeons, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a great idea. This is awesome. Gives you something else to do, some more gear, whatever.
It caters for a new type of player. someone who wants a challenge, but in a smaller, more intimate group. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I've got a lot of friends who raid, and for example, it may get to, you know, midnight and there's only six people online. Five of you can jump in and still have a challenge and still play. So it's always nice to see these extra bits come out.
It's nice rewards in there. All that stuff looks great. So, and I think they're some of their best dungeons they've ever made. So to tack on additional reasons to go and play them again is, I think, is a good thing.
I'm curious about the something they mentioned as one way of dealing with the ratio of different roles. Having possibly groups that would be larger than five people and having, you know, groups of six where you add in a DPS so you can get through, you know, potentially add in a DPS so you can get through the queues faster if you're a DPS.
I missed that. Is that a thing they're actually considering?
No. Well, it was something they said. It's something if we wanted, we're looking at how we could address the issues of long queues, mm-hmm. and we're thinking this might be a way that we could go about doing it. But I'm, because honestly, the reason I'm playing my my druid now is that it ensures I can get into dungeons a little bit faster because I'm healing, mm-hmm. and I would love to play my mage, but or, you know, many of my other characters, but that factor alone is kind of hindering me from doing it. So I don't know.
It's a real deterrence. Yeah, for sure. Like, it's almost like, I hate to use this comparison because it's not exactly one-to-one, but when I get into Heroes, sometimes my decision to go cooperative when I just need to knock out a couple of daily quests is determined by the fact that I don't have time to wait in the quick match queue, which takes a little longer. Sometimes can take, you know, it took us up to 5-6 minutes, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it is when you're at a loading screen, just sort of waiting for things to happen. If you've got limited time to hop into WoW and you want to just burn something out real quick, healers and tanks, well, they're used to just get in, get out. We have to wait.
I mean, to be honest with you, though, at the same time, even for something like Raid Fine, if I queue as a tank, it's quick. It's not instant, but at the same time, I think I've got more responsibility. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't want that. Sometimes I just want a DPS and just be one of many dudes, just kind of getting the job done. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Sometimes it's better to have that longer queue if it means that you can enjoy it in a kind of chilled way. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like, that's the point. Even it's not as much responsibility when you're a tank as when you're a healer, although you always get crap if your group dies because it's always the healer's fault.
Of course.
But that's the thing. I would like to sometimes have the slightly laid back experience of having being a DPS and not having the long wait time. Anyway, that's sort of a side point. I
love that idea. So
because the mythic difficulty could be really interesting, and I might not play my mage because of the queue times.
Sure. Adventure Guide's been updated. They're evolving into something called, or actually, I'm sorry, the journal is being evolved into something called the Adventure Guide, which is supposed to be a whole lot more detailed and useful. And don't know much about it other than that, but that's coming as well. Of course,
I think I can't remember. They mentioned this initially when they announced the expansion. I'm sure I've seen literature about it.
It was on an internal memo before you left.
Yeah, maybe. So maybe I'm not going to say what I think it is. All right, never mind. Keep going.
That might be, though. That's funny.
I think they did, but I don't know. I think they announced it. But
I thought so.
That's really funny.
Wait, because if it was announced, I can tell you what it is.
I don't know if it's announced or not. That's hilarious, though. It'd be funny if you
popped
out with...
I'm always very careful because there's still, you know, a lot of things that I... Well, not a lot, but a few things
thinks
that
he
I
knows.
Know that
Thankfully, since Blizzard already announced the squad-based StarCraft shooter... Oh, whoops, that was a loud part quiet part loud. Oh, well.
All right. Well, I can't confirm it, so never mind. I won't discuss it.
Don't want to get you in trouble.
All right, move on.
Finishing the Legendary Ring, you'll get to do that. So that all happens here. There's already a video up showing the story bits from that. So if you want to go spoil yourself on that, you can.
The most important thing ever for Scott.
Aspect of the Fox is being taken out. Why do they got to remove stuff, man? I know we're getting nerfed. We're getting nerfed across the board.
So, warlocks have got it worse than you. So, you know, don't just thank your lucky stars you're not a warlock right now.
But, I mean, the truth is, I very rarely was using that stupid ability. It was usually a very specific use case, like Scott run aspect of the foxhole or doing Tectus because there's a reason why, blah blah blah. But for the most part, that's been kind of a wasted item on my action bar, so it's not that big a deal. But I always like to decry when things are taken away from my stuff, and decry is French for the cry. What else? Time walking. Let's talk about this. This is a big deal. This came out a little bit later.
This is really cool.
If y'all want to be time walkers, now is your chance. There are going to be 7 different weekend events that will run from noon Friday through Monday every week or each week. 2 of those events will be time walking weekends, which you'll be able to queue up for randomly. Select old school dungeons with a new sort of heroic difficulty. And when you do these dungeons, you'll find your character's power and gear has been scaled down to a fraction of what they normally are, so you are being scaled down rather than the dungeons being scaled up. And for the first time in years, dungeons you probably outgrew 6-7 years ago will now put your skills to the test once again. So how are we feeling about... We'll talk about which dungeons are on the PTR now this week anyway, and what they're going to be testing soon.
See, all the Lich King ones, isn't it?
Let's see. It's the Alcatraz, Black Morass... Mana Tombs time. Yeah, that would be...
It's Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it's... I really, really like... gosh darn it. You know, it's terrible. I cannot hear anyone say really anymore without having either. That... And the other thing...
Oh, go ahead.
And the other thing is scarves. Anytime anyone says scarves... I feel like strange.
Did you just take your scar off? Scarf?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man. His scarf is to cover his scars. Yeah, on his neck.
I'm extremely pleased with this Time Walker Dungeons. The way they're approaching it, because we've been saying we should have some sort of mentoring system forever,
yeah.
And I think the fact that they're limiting it to specific events and time limited events will make them a lot more, so much more special and exciting than they would have if they just had added it as, you know, just now you can do any dungeon, anytime, whatever, just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's going to be this exciting thing that you need to go in and do if you want to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, by the way, just a side note, there are lots of events, 7 different events, and only 2 of those are going to be Time Walker Dungeons. So what are the other ones?
Yeah, we don't. That stuff's not as clear.
Very curious about that. But yeah, it's an unexpected way of implementing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be very cool. And I'm guessing it's not going to be limited to just twice. You know, they wouldn't do all this work for just 2 times in the entire history of WoW. I'm actually possibly even more excited about this than, I don't know, the shipyard, for example.
Sure.
But I think I think the nostalgic element of it is just it's gonna be really good.
It's kind of off the charts. Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna do much aesthetically to these places other than the models in them are obviously already updated or will be when they, you know, for models that have been updated. So there's going to be some visual increase of quality in that regard, just sort of naturally, even just with the players being in there. But I love it when they figure out ways to repurpose stuff. It's a lot of great old work that sits relatively dormant other than people leveling through dungeons or whatever. And this is a great chance to bring them out and use them for something meaningful. I remember loving Mana Tombs. I would love to go in there again for some reason other than just a, you know, transmog or whatever people are using it for now. So I'm all for this. I think this is a great move. Twitter's immediate response and the forum's immediate response was, as sometimes predictable, way to rehash old content, give us something new once in a while, Blizzard. And I don't understand the thinking exactly.
It's incredibly ironic because you have a list of patch notes that is, you know, the size of the... Is the Declaration of Independence long?
Short in okay. a way, but in some ways kind of long, yeah, I guess.
Nicolas Cage, it was a long...
So, all right, I'm ready now. We've rehearsed. 3, 2, 1. So, which is funny in a way because you have a list of notes in the patch notes that is basically the size of the Declaration of Independence, uh-huh. And people just say with lots of new stuff like new garrison features, new raid, new dungeon difficulty, tons of things. And the one thing they don't like, they go like, oh, give us new stuff. It's right here. Mm. Just scroll up a couple of lines and it's there, the new stuff.
Yeah, it's so. it's just the easy gut reaction thing to do. But I personally think that it's a shame when great work goes dormant. And in an MMO environment, I don't know how you get around it. It's a challenge, obviously, for any game. WoW is no different. So when they come up with ways to not fix that, but kind of get things back to where they're useful, it's tricky though,
because, and the reason that this is on a weekend only thing is it's a little bit like going into your attic and bringing down like your NES.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, these games were so amazing. Yeah, I've been playing for an hour. Okay. And yeah, they're not, I mean, they're okay. They're quite good. I mean, yeah, this, well, actually, I think I'm going to go play some GTA 5. It's honestly like the nostalgic element of this is great. And it is a real effect. It is a placebo, but it works.
Molten Core, for example, that was that exact thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But having it there just highlights all of their newer dungeons are better.
Mm-hmm.
They are legitimately better dungeons, built with more, you know, sense about it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think,
which is why also it's genius that they're doing it time limited for just a weekend or just a couple of weekends, right?
Yeah,
exactly. It makes all the difference, really. I think
I like it. I think it's fine. I'd love to hear listener reaction because I don't know. I just don't understand the freak out. But if you want to play the Nexus again, boom, you're in. Utgard Pinnacle, oh baby, yeah, good rewards too, right? What are we getting out of this thing?
So basically, they scale up the loot that you get from those dungeons. So if you get, you know, whatever in Utgard Pinnacle, wasn't it?
Pineapple.
Wasn't it that?
Who lives in a pinnacle? The guy under was the yelling, sea.
I will bathe in your blood or something like
that.
I'll
paint your face with blood. The famous instance thing. Yeah.
There you go. Paint your face with my blood.
Like that guy.
I'll paint your face with your blood.
Yeah.
And so if you get his, you know, bucket of epic paint, then that was level, what was it, 70 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to be level 100. But it usually you would get blue items in those dungeons, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're going to be, you know, are they going to make them viable for level 100, 6.2 raiding gear level, or is it going to be level 100 blue gear?
That is a really good question about who this is actually for. Is this for people who are already purpled out, or is this for somebody who's in between? And I don't know yet. I mean, maybe
that's going to be something of the catch up mechanic that they were talking about.
Yeah, I'd love to take my mage in there and do that. In fact, that's exactly what I'd like to do with him, to be honest. I'd rather do that than just about anything else with him right now. And I keep, you know, for whatever reason, I ripped through 90 to 100 so fast with GURP, and I was loving it, and I just ate it up. I'm stuck with my mage at like 97 or something, and I'm not motivated to do anything with him right now. So this would motivate me. So if this is who that's for, I'm all for that. If it's for purples, for people who already have purple fever, great. We'll do that too, but either way, I am with Patrick in this. If I'm ever with Patrick on anything, it's that I'm excited about this beyond most of everything else that's going on in this patch. So
is really ironic because it's the one thing where they're, you know, using old content and
yeah,
I kind of feel very guilty about this, but you know what? I'll get some cool gear and jump into the Hellfire Citadel.
Old content, exactly. But new work
people,
in it. You
people
know?
Have been asking for vanilla realms forever. People want to play old WoW, and this is a great way to kind of give those people, all right, here you go, shut up.
I think after Molten Core, I don't think a lot of people are still claiming that, you know, the old raids were so much better than the new ones.
Yeah, that was a real eye-opener for me, and I think a lot of players just kind of went, ooh, yeah, this is rough in here. We don't like this. Let me get this pet or this mount and get the hell out of here. So maybe that'll happen here. Probably not though. I think a lot of the old dungeon content, even just leveling alts and stuff, has been really fun through the years. And I don't see any reason why I will ever hate Utgard Pinnacle or Shattered Halls. I think those are fine places to hang out and do things. So Gundrak, even one of my least favorite at the time, but I don't mind it now.
Do you remember Shattered? I also wonder what architecture of Shattered Halls they will implement, because I remember initially, well, I guess it's about abilities, not about the dungeon itself. But back in the day, Shattered Halls was a dungeon where you could not survive if you didn't have a decent amount of crowd control.
Yeah.
If you, you know, unsheeped the sheep, then you would die.
Yeah.
That was, you know, if you had the six mobs on you at the same time, no amount of healing or excellent tanking could save you. Even Terpster could not have saved the groups where people
He could have been wearing my perfect arrow, his shield, and Dills's pants, and still would have died in that fight. Doesn't matter. Yeah, no, you're totally right. Maybe. I mean, maybe it'll be just as dependent on those things, and that's great because I love using CC, and I like the creative.
I don't think so. They've tried here and there to get back to this, but people just don't respond.
These new dungeons are hard as hell, though. Like when you while you were leveling through them, they were difficult as crap, and they did require creative thinking and movement and use of your abilities. So I don't know. I'm not so sure they'll shy away from that stuff. We'll see, though. I watched a video yesterday posted somewhere where they compared. They did a bunch of video of a vanilla. Someone's running some vanilla server somewhere. So he went in there and filmed a bunch of stuff and then filmed the exact same locations in the current build of the game. Mm-hmm. And there were two things that were very clear about this. Everybody, all the characters and all the old models really do look like shit right now. They look terrible. That was one thing on the old one. In the new one, everything, the zones and areas looked really nice as compared to what it used to. But they had weather effects in almost every zone in Vanilla WoW. And you've all forgotten about this. I had forgotten about this. But it was snowing constantly if you were anywhere near Dwarf Town. And the effects of that, like these big misty kind of clouds coming over your face as you ran anywhere in any direction, snow crisscrossing in front of you, that stuff is gone. It's not in the game anymore. It was always raining in certain places. Like Brill was constantly freaking wet. It's not anymore, ever. Like it was a weird thing to notice all that the field of view was a little bit different. Like there's some strange stuff if you go back and watch video of vanilla compared to now. And I don't know, I was surprised about some of those things I kind of missed because there were some real cool kind of atmospheric things. And a lot of it was, look, well, I'll fully admit they were there to kind of mask that view distance kind of sucked in vanilla or, you know, you had to kind of make up for other technical limitations of the engine at the time that we're now just no problem with. And to be honest, I think I remember during vanilla thinking the weather effects were annoying and I wish I could turn them off more. But to see him again kind of made me a little, I don't know, a little anxious for that old time. So there you go. Nostalgia at work, everyone. Get the NES out of the attic. Play Balloon Fight until your eyes bleed. All right.
There you go.
BlizzCon tickets sold out. Wave 1 sold out in about 2-3 minutes or something.
It broke Ticketbrite.
Yeah.
Eventbrite sort
Event,
of thing.
Eventbrite, that was supposed to do well this year, but I guess it still broke that for a minute at least.
It's obscene. It's just huge. It's huge. Yeah.
I don't know any other way you do it. Like, can anything withstand it? Probably not.
Well, I don't know. So they've been running this Star Wars convention in the Anaheim Convention Hall this past weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's Star Wars. And they're showing this where they premiered the teaser trailers. I mean, obviously, we've all seen them now as well. But that, you could buy tickets. You can still buy tickets now. It's finished. Mm-hmm. But you can still buy tickets.
No, but there's an easy way to handle this. I'm not sure why they don't think. I mean, it works now. But an easy way to do it would be to open the submissions for, you know, a week. And then you randomly select people who get the right to pay for the ticket. The way Apple does it for WWDC, basically.
Oh, yeah. Right. I hadn't thought of that. But doesn't that feel like the worst form? Well, it's the worst form of RNG coming from Blizzard, right? Like, you're going to literally be randomly selected.
I don't know that it's worse than, you know, staying up forever and hoping that you will click at the right second to get your ticket.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the current way
makes the people that are the most dedicated more likely to get it.
Mm-hmm. I think some people are under the impression that they're skilled at it, and I think when you take that away, they will just assume that it's more random, and then they would have gotten it had they been able to manually do it. It's kind of like saying, "Well, I would have survived this avalanche if I'd have been there because I know, you know, whatever."
that is a perfect.
It's
analogy.
A bad analogy. It's deep. Here's your analogy. What's his name? Mark Wahlberg. It went under fire not too many years ago for saying that if he was on one of those planes that slammed into those buildings on 9/11, he would have diverted that plane, taken it over, and gotten it back. Easy to say if you're in it. And again, this is an extreme example. But my point is, I know, like, for example, my brother-in-law, who was absolutely 100% dedicated to making sure he got tickets this year, he would much prefer that he had his hands on that steering wheel than it just randomly came or didn't. Do you know what I mean? Even though that may be ultimately what happened. Like, he just happened to luckily be where he was. He still feels like he had his hand firmly gripped on the control. And if you take that away from players,
Here's a better analogy. It's imagine that you're buying a donut and you want a token. And when you buy the donut with the token, it's okay. Never mind.
Wait, donut tokens or donut tokens? I want more info.
I don't know. This sounds genius, though. So I buy a donut and I get a token, and then I go to BlizzCon.
Yeah,
basically, yes.
I'm going to write Tonut Dokens down as a possible title for today's show. There we go. Okay.
It was a reference to the previous episode.
We talked about donuts.
Yeah.
Terpster listened to it. Of course he did.
Yeah.
They're sold out. Is it this Saturday that is the next wave? It's this tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, the 18th.
Yeah. So get ready again. Get your clicking fingers ready. It's wave two on its way. And congrats to everybody who got tickets the first time. Finally, a couple more things here. Holinka gave a really good chat to MMO Champion, or MMO Champion broke down a video that they did there at Blizzard with CM Lore and Holinka talking about PvP. We won't go into huge detail here because we're not giant PvP guys here, but I know Dills loves this sort of stuff. It's a great Q&A and is completely worth your time. It's at MMO Champion right now and worth your reading time. It looks like the WoW token finally will settle somewhere in the mid-20K. That's what all the predictions say. That's kind of where it is right now. Now that it's found its potential standard value sort of index there.
Well, the thing is that part of this patch, they found some new icons, and they're for faction change, race change, and server transfer. Mm. And there's no need to have icons in the game because all of those transactions have been completed via the battle.net backend. But the thoughts are now that the token is going to be able to be redeemed against other services potentially. Mm. And that may be a way to encourage people to buy it and keep the value up. So that'll be interesting if that happens. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of tinfoil because there's some things in there.
Right. Data mined icons.
The problem is the token costs $20.
Yeah.
And these services have different prices. So I don't know that could work. Also, couldn't it just be the in-game store? And you need icons and stuff for...
That's possible. It's possible. I mean, if you're going to buy... Think of it this way. If you want to make a faction transfer, currently you have to go through... You do it out of the game, like Terpster said, but to be able to buy that like a boost or any other service in the game is sensible. Yeah, that's sensible to do, and you'd need assets like a little icon or a little 3D.
Well, I don't know. I think, well, we'll see. Like I said, there's new icons, so watch the space.
There's one shaped like a penis. I can't figure that one out. Where did I see
that?
Yeah,
I put that one in.
Oh, was that you? Okay.
I can't believe they went with it. Yeah, I did it as a joke, and they were like, yeah, great.
It was very phallic the second I saw it. Now I don't see it in the list. I saw it on MMO Champion. Well, anyway, maybe I was seeing things. Hopeful watching. All right, we're going to take a tiny, tiny break. When we come back, it's your calls and an email, so stay tuned. Hey, guys, just a quick break to tell you about our friends at DoghouseSystems.com, where right now they want you to have a free 120-gigabyte SSD drive, absolutely free, with any configuration you go pick up over there. That's in addition to the 1 terabyte that's already in the box. So it's not like you got to just live with this one, but man, just imagine how fast everything's going to launch from your 120-gigabyte free SSD drive. All you got to do is use the code FROGPANTS at checkout anytime you go over there and buy. Check them out today, DoghouseSystems.com, and the code... Frog Pants.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
can't follow my controller thing. Hey, everybody, it's Town Crier time. That means your calls, your emails, and this is where we talk to you. If you'd like to leave a voicemail for the show, 801-471-0462, or you can email us theinstance@gmail.com. We've got a question here or a thought about advanced classes.
Hey, this is Andrew from Atlanta, Georgia. I was actually calling for the instance. You guys were discussing new classes, ways to fix classes, all those kinds of things. I'm not sure if we're going to actually get a new class. It would have to fit the story of the expansion, like maybe a Demon Hunter class when we go after the Burning Legion or something like that. But one of the things that could potentially work would be alternate advancements for existing classes. You know, they hit a certain level, and then, like Dill said, you could morph into another type of class that's an advanced class. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Problem with that, I don't hate that idea, but the problem with that is that, as other MMOs have demonstrated, it's very hard to balance against that and to create parity between classes when they're... Because it's essentially new classes. It's you just called it a different thing. You can say morphing into it means that, oh, now my mage can wield a sword and melee, like Patrick's desires. But that's still a new class, in essence, and you'd still have to balance it against traditional mages and... other classes, and then there's the whole PvP
traditional
thing.
Traditional mages, I like that.
Yeah, traditional mages.
They're start a band. Conservative about which schools of magic they use.
Yeah. We could be a bit sound like a band. I'll play bass for traditional mages. That sounds all right. What were you gonna say, Patrick?
There was the idea of the Path of Titans, Path of the Titans for what was it? Was it? Cataclysm? I can't remember. But it was basically alternate advancement, which is a concept that's existed in MMOs for a while.
Sure.
They scrapped it, though. I think there was a lot of things that didn't work with it or unintended consequences, and they couldn't make it work. That's not to say they can't make it work in the future, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But I would certainly love... The thing is... If you look at it, the alternate advancement already exists in the game. When you reach level cap, all of a sudden your advancement becomes your eye level. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't give you, you know, a lot of new abilities or new ways to play your character, but it is still a form of advancement. So... I don't know. As we've been saying for the past 3 weeks, it poses a lot of problems that are not easy to solve.
Yeah, so. I agree. Well, we'll see. Time tells all things. How about this one? A similar question.
This is Tom. I play Relics on Earthen Ring. You guys were just talking about possibility of new classes coming up. And I've been thinking about not only a new class, but maybe a new role for Dungeons and Raids. We have two roles for damage, tanks and DPS. I'm thinking maybe we could add another role for a support class. So we have a healer and then maybe some kind of class that is more responsible for buffs on the allies and curses on the enemies.
That's an interesting idea.
So, funny story. Mm. Are you familiar with vanilla shamans and paladins?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they were, and everyone hated them.
Did they?
You had to worry about... Well, that's what they were doing. You had all of your buffs lasted for like 30 seconds to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was the role of those two classes in the game. It was not entirely, but a lot of it was buffing all of the different... friends that were fighting with them.
Yeah, really inconveniently as well.
And so maybe it was the
like 5 minute buffs
that didn't work.
Right.
Well, 5 minutes was when they increased the duration. Initially, when I came into the game, it was 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was even less before that for the paladins.
Well, what if you could do that again though, but do it in a bursty way, like. Why couldn't support classes do it the way healers do it right now? So healers have got a lot to worry about and a lot to pay attention to. Just give buff classes a lot to worry about and a lot to pay attention to, you know?
So the problem that you introduce in the game at that point is that you add another factor for having your group complete. And you not only need a tank, a healer, a couple of DPS, but you also need this other thing that might be, that might or might not be in short supply, which is the support class. And of course, maybe you could make it optional, but then, you know,
it's
I don't know.
It's not that good. It won't be that unique or special if you can do without it. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, we all know this game's about min-maxing, really, when you play it. If there is a easier, better way to play, 9 times out of 10, that'll be the one that everyone does.
Yeah, it's so, the bane of RPGs generally.
Yeah, well, I think it's internet connected worlds and communities. You know, we can share and pool man hours that you could never do before in games, so that we can all compare, well, how does yours work, how did yours work, and off the back of that find the best ways and share the best ways.
Sure.
Booty Raider in the chat room is saying, Bard. I would love to see a Bard class. Yeah. Like some character that, yeah, exactly. Serenading the mob to make it like more susceptible.
He
to,
was a,
to,
there was a Bard in, what was the game?
EverQuest.
No, well, yeah, there was an EverQuest.
Lord of the Rings Online.
That too, but also the one I played a ton of, which was...
Skyrim?
Dark Age of Camelot had a bard, and he was really fun, and it was quite literally playing music all the time. Like, you'd pull off a move, you'd hit an action bar item, and you'd go, do-do-do-do-do, we're strong, and we're kicking ass, and then you'd fight more harder and whatever. It was a, it was super weird, but really fun. So, yes, but they're never going to do that. We're mark my words, bards don't fit in the Warcraft universe. They just don't.
Yeah, they don't.
They'll never
Love to see one, though.
Yeah, they won't do it, though. Maybe as an NPC or some sort of weird story arc thing, but never a thing you can level to 100.
That would be an incredible NPC. He would like, there would be a dungeon where he would accompany you and you would, he would sing your praises and, and your, you know, get you through the fights and everything. Yeah. By the end of it, you're so sick of the bard that you have to stab him in the face as the last boss.
There's this idea that there's a guy running around with a lute playing music while you're fighting giant fire creatures. It's just ridiculous anyway. I understand it's, you know, it's an interesting idea. Go to put one in the tavern. Put more of that in there. That'd be fine. That's where they should be anyway. And I think I want to say Star Wars Galaxies had some kind of bard music class. That,
well, traditionally in Dungeon... God, my voice goes so
traditionally
the Dungeons and Dragons has a bard class, and that's what it's inspired for.
Yeah, sure. Works on pen and paper, not so much in the game.
Well,
although,
does it, though,
really? Well, although there is that bard game that's all bard all the time. What's that old RPG called?
Bard's Tale
is so good. Like, in a single player environment, that's a hell of a thing. I just don't know how it works.
I think doing a bard well is very hard in a game. Like, you know, I'd want to be able to write my own songs. I think the only bard that officially exists within Warcraft is Russell.
Yeah.
In Twilight Highlands. Yeah. No, is that where it is?
I think he's in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. He is in game as a bard.
He's also coming back. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't think there exists another bard in WoW, but I could be wrong.
Look at Russell. He's super kick ass. Who wouldn't want to play Russell?
Right. If you're coming to Nerdtacular, confirmation, he's coming again. So hang out with us.
Oh, he is.
Yep, he'll be there.
You could play him at Nerdtacular.
Yeah, you could totally play him.
I'd quite like that. If we could mount a GoPro on like a selfie stick behind him so we get the kind of WoW perspective.
Sure.
And then we can just, you know, kind of just direct him and just be like, yeah, all right, Russell, go to the bar. That's it. Up ahead. Now, hang on, I'm pressing 3 on that. It's your wallet. Open your wallet. There you go. And buy me a beverage.
Perfect.
And then I could just imagine he would just say no. That would be a very, very boring game.
Nailed
but,
it.
Yeah.
Nailed good. It. We got one final question that is so not WoW related that I had to play it. So here you go.
Hello, this is Macho, Mage, Gorgonash. Quick question. Just a general question to you guys. What's your favorite TV show? You know, I just wanted to get that out there, ask you this question. There's so many great shows out there. You know, there's so many shows. There's so many really, really good shows. And I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, what's your favorite show? What show are you guys currently watching? And what show you guys just glued to the TV with? That's it. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
I think he really wants to know.
I'm not exactly sure what he's... Can he say... Is it shows? Is it? Is that what you said? Because
I think
sure.
So. I know. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's favorite shows. Shows, I think. Shows is what he's looking for. We're just kidding, dude. It's a very nice question. All right. So favorite shows. I think he means of all time. So we've never talked about this sort of thing. So start with Terpster. Terpster, what is your favorite TV show ever?
I don't know. Christ.
There's too many, I know.
Yeah, there's far too many. I don't know. Like I really like at the moment Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I watched that. If I want to laugh, Always Sunny in Philadelphia is ridiculous and pretty much guaranteed to make you laugh every time. Yeah. And there's so many, and they're all consistently good. Yeah. I don't know. There's just it's like, you know, there's too many genres to pick a favorite or overall show.
Yeah. Plus, there's things when we were kids that we probably loved, but now would be kind of dumb now. But you know, like your taste change. Now is like this glut of things to watch, and it's very difficult to not watch them. But I think I have a favorite, but I want to hear Patrick's first.
Well, there are a few. I think The Wire is an incredibly amazing, fantastic, wonderful show that has captured my soul and heart. I think, so that one might be a surprise for some people. Friday Night Lights.
Oh, you took mine. Damn it.
Really?
Yeah, that was it. No, you're right to love it, though. It's amazing. Hell of a show.
I mean, if you go gloss over the first half of the second season, that's not great. But, I mean, that show, and when you try to sell it to, you know, a snooty Frenchman, you're like, this is a show about, like, college football and, you know, in the heart of America.
High school, but yes. Close enough.
I'm sorry?
High school. But
yeah. High school, yeah, even better. It's like, so.
It's a hell of a thing.
Drama, you have everything. And I love that show. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are a bunch. Daredevil, actually, I thought it was great.
Yeah, really.
And it's possibly the best.
I haven't started watching it yet.
You need to.
It's amazing.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Well, so it's very different from what we would have expected as a Marvel superhero TV show, but it's very dark, gritty, very grounded in the reality of that guy who's not, you know, Iron Man or Thor or any of those basically gods. He's just a guy with sticks, and lot of things really, really,
well, he's,
really, really well.
He's a guy with, yes, he's a guy, it's very dark, very grounded reality, but he's also he has powers. That's one thing that makes him different than, say, Batman. They're very similar. He's basically Marvel's Batman, always kind of has been, but he's, you know, his heightened senses and all that stuff is more than just your normal heightened sense if you're blind. But aside from that, yes, I agree with you 100%. It's very, very good, and it's exactly what I didn't necessarily expect, but it's exactly what I'd hoped, because that is his comic persona. He has previously, in all the Defenders, really, the quote-unquote Defenders, their storylines, you know, the Luke Cages, the Punishers, and the Daredevils, and the whatever, Jessica Joneses of the world have always been dark. That's their whole thing. So the fact that they have a place to be dark now, and that we can see this in this way, is nothing short of awesome. It's really good, Terpster. You should watch it.
It goes beyond that, though. It's, you know, when he fights, he gets exhausted. He gets hurt. He gets up again, but you feel his human frailty. Even though he's a very powerful human, he's still a regular person.
Yeah, he gets kicked out of him on the regular, and you're right. You're totally right. It doesn't hold back, and it's great. It's a fantastic time. People should be watching that. But for me, FNL, Friday Night Lights, is maybe one of the best dramas ever made. So I kind of fall to that. Just love that show so much.
It's so good. Have you ever watched it, Mark?
I haven't. No, exactly. But I always thought it wouldn't be that good. You talked about it a little bit on Movielicious, I seem to remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I obviously
on the face
of
it,
really value your opinion. But Scott says it's really good, so I might give it a go.
Yeah, if you're worried that it's just going to shove Americana Texas football down your throat, that's not what the show is really about. It's almost like saying Game of Thrones isn't really about dragons. I mean, it is, but it, you know, dragons feature, but it's not really about dragons. It's about these relationships and all the stuff that goes on between them and the politics of that world. In the very same way, it's like Friday Night Lights is really not about football. It features, but it's not about it. And if you like football, all the better. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Freaking great.
And The Walking Dead, by the way, I can't not mention it. I've loved every season and almost every episode, including the ones where people thought it was too slow. Mm. I thought it's brilliant. And it's amazing that we have, you know, a heroic fantasy show and a zombie show being the most watched shows on TV right now. It's our culture that's winning. So go dragons and zombies.
The nerds have the power. One final email. This comes to us from Jose. I assume it's not Josie, so I'll say Jose. It says, I've not really played WoW for a week now. I tried HOTS and went down a rabbit hole and do not want to come out of it. I enjoy playing a couple of heroes and cannot decide which one to stick with. What is your guys' favorite hero? I don't think guys' is a word, but whatever.
I used to really like Uther before the patch. Yeah. And he was, I mean, he's still pretty cool, but he's a little bit different. I'm playing mostly Zeratul, because he's super cheese.
Do you run into that problem where you are matched with a bunch of people who don't know how Zeratul works, and they just see you standing there, and they think you're being a butt and yell at you the whole match?
No, we tend to do a 5-stack, so I normally get yelled at, but not for that reason. It's normally because I'm playing really badly.
Yeah.
But I think when you play a 5-stack, you get matched up against other people in a 5.
Yeah.
And so we don't win that many. But yeah, it's good fun.
I'm winning more than I lose. If I'm to pick favorite characters, it's Thrall. And it's... I like them in this order. I think for me, it goes Thrall, Vala, Jaina, Sergeant Hammer, and then a bunch of others and I like all of them, but I really, really like those top few. And for me, Thrall is my kind of go-to. I just can wreak some serious havoc, especially mid and end game with that guy, and I freaking love it. So yeah, that's for me. And Patrick, I don't know how much heroes you're playing these days, but who do you like? Who do you go to?
So the amount of heroes that I'm playing these days is roughly about none, more or less. So my hero, the hero that I prefer is, I think the guy with the horns is pretty nice. And there's the little flying dragon thing. That's, yeah. Brian, no, I don't play heroes. I mean, I usually like support characters. And I remember, I mentioned it at one point. I really liked Lily because she was easy to get to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
And that actually I enjoyed the game I played when I was playing with Lily. So
we found an interesting experience the other night. We played a bunch of custom games where it was us versus like two teams kind of set up, but we only had four per team. So each side had a slot open, and we found that the computer will automatically slot in Lily if there's a hole. Almost every single time Lily goes in if there's an open slot, which I thought was really interesting.
You shouldn't say that about her. She's a lovely lady. You know.
We should capture this merc camp, she's always saying. She's always so excited for everything. But, man, I haven't had that much fun in a video game in a multiplayer environment since maybe my early Quake and, like, Unreal days. Like, just yelling, screaming, laughing on TeamSpeak, just having the time of your freaking life. And props to Blizzard for bringing that back for me, because I haven't felt that in a long time. Very long time.
And I just have to mention Sunbun saying that I Lily like Lily.
That's it.
I like it.
Hold on. I need to mark that moment so I can capture that out. All right. Excellent. that's going to do it. Thanks for your emails and your calls. Once again, email us, themorningstream@gmail. That's the wrong address.
Theinstance@gmail.com.
Call us 801-471-0462. I think that's going to do it. You guys have anything to mention this week? Patrick, you got anything going on?
So Nashville is apparently an excellent show as well, kind of like in the spirit of Friday Night Lights.
I've heard that too, yeah.
And so we're not talking about Star Wars?
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Let's do this real quick. Wow. Okay, one last thing. So Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is Kyle Chandler, who played Coach Taylor. He is in that Bloodline show on Netflix, and that is also really freaking good. Totally different, but awesome.
Bloodline?
Yeah, Bloodline. Amazing show.
What is it about?
It's about this family that owns this inn in the Florida Keys. There's Sissy Spacek and Sam, I forgot the guy's name, freaking, anyway, they're great actors. They're the parents, and all these kind of grown children help them run it. One of them is Kyle Chandler. He doesn't really run the family business, but he's a detective on the islands, so he's like a policeman guy. There's this brother that comes back who's been estranged, and then the whole thing just starts to unravel the history of this family, and some weird crap goes down by the end. It is fantastic. Really well acted. Amazing stuff. You should watch it, Patrick. Okay. I think you'd like it.
All right.
Anyway, so can we just talk about the Star Wars thing just briefly?
Ooh, and Hearthstone. phones. It works.
Oh, yeah, it works on phones. Yeah.
Really good.
Really, yeah. In fact, so good, I forgot to mention it. It's just a piece of cake. You just fire it up, and there it is.
It's literally better than the iPad app.
I kind of agree.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
I think it is. I'm with Terpster.
Like in terms of stability and smoothness, because it's actually made for that device rather than just like, guys, just crop it down. It fits. It works.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like a much, much better offering.
That's where I'm at. I feel like the iPad version is fine, but it mirrors the desktop in a way that feels like it wasn't exactly custom built for it. But this thing feels like the phone in mind the entire time without losing the core experience you'd get on the PC. I think it's really, really well done.
That's funny.
And I don't even like
it. It felt to me like it was a little bit crammed. It works. It's definitely capable, but it's a little bit cramped.
Well, what are you running, a 6 or 6? Are you running the Duke, the big one?
6.
Okay, me too. That's more crampy than a 6 Plus. I think 6 Plus users are like, oh, yeah, this is like a tablet. But for you and I, it's like a little bit smaller. Yeah. All right, so this happened. Here, I'm going to just play a little taste of this here. Hold on.
My sister has it.
You have it. We all have it.
You have that power, too.
Oh, the power. We have the power. So anyway, Mark Hamill doing his thing. So what'd you guys think of that thing? It's pretty awesome. Like
it was amazing.
I'm beside myself.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I was like a little kid.
So as I was saying earlier in the show, I'm really not a big Star Wars nut. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it well enough. Mm-hmm. And especially, obviously, you know, the first trilogy, the second one, let's not get into
that. Yeah, we all hate that. It's fine. We're all together on that.
Exactly.
It doesn't count.
And
it's poo.
And what actually got me completely was the last shot.
Oh, this right here.
Chewie, we're home.
It is sending shivers down my spine. Whoa. Right now.
Sorry, hit that again. Yeah, no, dude, it's just, it hits all the right points. There's something I want to say about that final scene, though, that nobody's been talking about, and that
it's
is
a
that
copy of the...
Of what?
It's a equivalent copy of another scene from.
Oh no, that's not it. Here's where it gets me. That final scene where Chewie and Han are standing there, and he says that. The reason that works is more. It's more than just ooh, it's Chewie and Han. That's a big deal, okay. But it's more than that. There's something about seeing Harrison Ford that makes you go,
old man.
Oh, they're not kidding around. This is really Star Wars. This isn't some plasticky version of Star Wars. This isn't all new actors we don't know yet and haven't proven themselves yet. This isn't, we're not sure about J.J. Abrams because Star Trek and whatever, and we don't know if he can transition. It's none of those things. This is a piece of glue from the universe that shaped our childhoods. And there he is in the flesh, tying it together. And there's something powerful about that. There's something that really got me. And it's more than just, oh, the nostalgia of seeing Harrison Ford and, you know, oh, and look how old he is or any of that. None of that is the big deal. The big deal to me is this is a bona fide star who has a giant, respectable body of work between now and back when he got his real start in Star Wars, where it really mattered his star was on the rise. And to see him back in that role, not only willing to, but smiling for the first time that I've seen him smiling about the last 10 movies he's been in, like, I'm just all in. I am all in. If they screw this up, I'll never believe in anything again. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
It's magical. You know, for our generation, I think seeing Han Solo in his Han Solo outfit, which apparently he hasn't changed in, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
And Chewie, who hasn't aged either.
Yeah.
It just works. It's irrational. It's just it brings us into that place that we were hoping the trilogy, the infamous trilogy, would create, and it creates that kind of, you know, in a time when Marvel is creating an entire cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. It's something that, if any franchise deserves it, Star Wars does. Mm. And apparently they're going for that as well, between, you know, the new trilogy and the side movies that they're going to be releasing every other year. It's creating that gigantic lore, that gigantic body of fantasy that that universe deserves. And that's the first piece of that. It's bringing us back to the beginning to sort of make it explode into all directions with a coherent scope of story that universe deserves.
Yeah,
so,
and I'll tell you what else got me. Excited. Everyone wants to talk about that last scene, but one of the things that actually got me right in the feels, right in the square in the heart muscle, was
the Vader meth mask.
No, not even that. It was the hand. It was the cyborg hand. The removed hand of Luke Skywalker reaching up and resting it on R2-D2 as they stared off into whatever fiery abyss they were looking into. There's something about that.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, yeah. That's an amazing little moment right there. Because it's Luke narrating the thing. It's when he says, I have it. And I know that stuff's a speech from that's all kind of cold from the
original
movie. But to see his hand go up and do that, there's something about that. I don't know what it is, but it just got me there. And I thought, well, if that's all I get to see of the original cast, I'll be okay. No idea.
I was wondering, maybe he was born with it, or maybe it's Maybelline, because it did feel like at some point he was going to say just about some luscious hair, and it's just this beautiful. I just wasn't quite sure.
Well, it's hard to say. You never know. Anyway, we are very excited about that movie and can't wait. So Christmas, hurry up. Hurry the hell up.
Well, we have Age of Ultron that's coming up right in a week for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Exactly. By the time we record the next show, I will have seen Age of Ultron possibly twice, maybe even three times.
Yeah, I will have at least once, maybe twice.
I got invited to the premiere, but sadly I cannot go. But that would have been cool.
Yeah.
What is more important than going to the premiere?
I don't know exactly. Well, things on Reddit, someone saw the film and they said it's terrible.
What?
And so on
I saw that.
Our movies, and it's like, I don't know how true that is, but it would be interesting to see.
I guarantee it will not be
totally
terrible.
Imagine it.
I guarantee it will not be terrible.
I could imagine it being terrible, but I'm hoping. I'm really, really, really hoping that it's not.
I'm gonna have to go. I've got to run soon.
Oh, you gotta go soon. Yeah, we should let you go then. Well, we're done now. So thanks everybody for being here. The show's over. If you would like to hang out with us more, well then tune in next week. Okay, bye now. I know, isn't he? Where do you have to go? The baby crying or something?
Hey there, this is Jules.
And this is Mark Conan, and we're the hosts of Torin Think Tank. We're the podcast all about the stuff you deal with as players of WoW, interacting with people both inside and outside of the game.
We talk about the tough stuff, the funny stuff, and everything in between. And it's driven by your letters and what you want us to cover.
Here's what we were talking about in our latest show.
If you haven't talked to your wife about it, if you haven't mentioned any of this, this is a big rift between the two of you. Because if your wife doesn't know how you feel, you're weirded out because you can't go to your mom's wedding because your ex is there. But your partner is the person that you need to be telling everything to. Rejection is so mentally destructive. When someone rejects you and you gave them everything that you had, it is really, it's one of the hardest things to get over. But you have to build up your own self-worth and have to realize that it isn't, it wasn't just you and it wasn't just the other person. It was the two of you together that didn't work.
You can find the latest episodes of Torin Think Tank on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or on our website at torinthinktank.com.
We can't wait to meet you. So, until next time, slash moo, everybody.
Slash moo.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what happens to all the noble garden eggs that never get found? Although I have never participated in the Noble Garden festivities, I will not let that stop me from telling you all about them. Apparently, these beautiful Noble Garden eggs may produce shiny new holiday-themed loot. But let me address the question asker's sneaky trick question. Everyone knows you must sit on a Noble Garden egg for 1 hour to hatch it. if you sit too long, it disappears and no loot for you. Therefore, there are no leftover eggs. I will warn the mages, however, to watch out for April Fool tricksters. If a mage sits on the wrong Noble Garden egg, he may be polymorphed into a cute fluffy bunny for his trouble. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. The Kamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com. Thanks to Abaton Aberday from Worm Rush the Cord for this week's question.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.